Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Mama.
How are you, honey?
It has been a rough morning, rough day.
It has been for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I can't get my mojo. I feel like I'm Austin Powers. Someone stole my mojo. I can't even speak with an English accent. I used to be able to speak with an English accent. It's just been gone. Someone took my mojo. I've got to get it back, please.
Is that it? See, here's the thing. When you watch Fox...
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
They say that all Democrats are the leftists, the socialists, they're all part of the elite.
Right.
However, what I've noticed when I turn on Fox to enjoy my Fox dessert, whatever, everybody talks like this, very British.
Oh, interesting.
And they talk like... I can't do it.
Like, it's time for team time.
Yeah, they talk very, to me, it's like elite snobbery.
Yeah.
You know, Tucker.
Here's the kettle calling the pot black or something like that.
And so I'm starting to think like, maybe I can kind of see into the magic playbook a little bit.
Yeah.
Like... something like, I'm rubber, you're glue, what bounces off of me sticks to you.
Yeah.
Or like, whatever you say, what's the other one? I know you are, but what am I?
Exactly.
It's sort of something like that.
Well, it was interesting because I was listening to NPR, BBC, you know, and I guess Brazil's having some elections. And their right politicians are really right. And when they mean right, they mean hate women, blatantly say they hate women, mm-hmm. like they're just submissive, they mm-hmm. should do nothing, yada, yada, mm-hmm. yada. Hate anyone of color, mm-hmm. hate anyone poor, hate gays for sure. You know, and it's like,
and they're leading the
race right now, which is bizarre because the majority of the population is women. Like 52% of the
population. And they're leading?
And
oh,
you're like,
Lord.
And so you go, and what it is that people are not analyzing this. It is, quote unquote, white privilege or that nation's privilege, mm-hmm. you know, fighting so hard to keep whatever power they have left because they don't want their power to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very interesting.
That's fascinating.
Can I propose a question for you?
Yes.
So I was listening to Risk, one of my podcasts. Mm-hmm. I was trucking a lot last 24 hours and mm-hmm. got a lot
trucking for 24 hours.
24 hours, which is not legally, yeah. people. Not illegally. Just I was gone, then I had a break and I was
and,
gone
yeah,
again.
You had your 8 hours off?
Yeah. And then, and I'd want to know what you would do if this happened to you.
Give it to me, girlfriend.
And I have my own say about this. So Risk is a podcast where people talk about just a little snippet of their life, a story.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any filter, so you're allowed to swear. It's not like The Moth on NPR where mm-hmm. it's a little bit...
You can't swear.
Yeah, it's a little bit cleaned up, mm-hmm. you know, sanitized. These mm-hmm. are not sanitized stories.
Mm-hmm.
Woman Come talks about how she knew she was odd when she was growing up because she would always... spank her babies like her baby dolls and her rag mm-hmm. dolls, and when they were really bad she'd put like lipstick marks on their butts to show how bad they were, like, oh, you're a bad rag doll. And she started talking about how she just felt like she was always different, like she always liked to play with like sticks and whips and stuff like that when she was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
She slides in the idea that corporal punishment was in her house and done frequently. Just slides it in, like, mm-hmm. 4 minutes.
As an aside.
On the side.
Yeah.
Oh, really? And you don't think it...
Really?
Really. And so she talks about being married before the internet came big and how she just couldn't, you know, get turned on without extreme stuff, and that wasn't her husband, so they end up getting divorced. And then she would go online, and she found a kink site. Mm-hmm. And with bondage and stuff like that. And so they're chatting with people, and someone pops up and says, hey, are you from anybody here in the chat room from North Carolina? And then she's like, well, I was from North Carolina. And they start chatting and chatting and chatting. And the conversation keeps going. And the person goes, oh, and I was from, you know, oh, like I, oh yeah, I go, I live in South Carolina now. I go, oh, my family's from South Carolina. He goes, do you ever visit, you know, my daughter's from North Carolina. Oh, do you ever visit your daughter in North Carolina? Like, no, I live on the beach in South Carolina. She comes there. I go, oh, that's nice. And he goes, well, who do you know in North Carolina? Maybe they know each other or whatever. He goes, oh, well, my dad used to manage a campground in such and such a place. And then it was dead silence, you know, and he goes, okay, you know, have a nice day. And he gets off the chat, and it was like done quickly after she kind of revealed some personal stuff about her, about herself. She goes, oh, I wonder if this guy knows my dad. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, it's going to be so embarrassing that he knows who I am. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of revealed my kinks and stuff like that. Goes, but this was in the day when they have chat boxes. So she goes, I left my chat box up to see if he'd come back on later on. And she started chatting with other people. And sure enough, a little blink came on. And mm-hmm. she goes, hey, where'd you go? And he goes, oh, hey, by the way, is your name Gretchen? I don't know if that's her name or not. And he goes, no, you tell me your name first. And he goes, well, this better not be Gretchen. Gretchen so-and-so. He goes, and she goes, well, Dad, I don't know. You shouldn't be on this side either. And it was her father. Oh my God. And so for like the last 10 minutes, they were like going balls in. Like she goes, he was talking about what he likes to do to women and like his size of him and like, oh, and how God. Tall he was. And first thing he said was, Dad, you are not 5'10". I go, stop lying to women. And then he said, I want you not to come to the site anymore because you're going to get killed here. That's what he said. And I thought that was interesting.
Whoa.
Like, I thought that was interesting. Yeah. Like, he was okay playing in this realm.
Yeah, he could.
He could.
But not his daughter.
Because you're going to get hurt here.
Yeah.
Meaning, I know the people that come here.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to hurt women.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because he was explicit on what he wanted to do.
Right.
Which was, because he goes, what's your fantasy? And she goes, I have, and I thought to myself, this is my mom's fantasy, but this would be awful with cowboys. And the fantasy was this. She'd be the only girl, only woman in a cruise boat, a cruise ship filled with men, horny men. And he was, you have to satisfy him. And I go, if all those men were cowboys, my mom would be very happy. That's what I was thinking. I don't know. Are you still in your cowboy phase?
I'm still in the cowboy phase.
I know you were like.
But the thing is, you know that cruise ship crashes. It sinks. And I land on the beach with just one
That's
man.
Right. Oh, right. You don't. You like the idea of having a choice between all. You don't have to do all those cowboys.
No, no.
You get to pick the cream of the crop.
Right.
And the way you find out, because you can't pick, how could you possibly
could
pick?
I?
You don't want to hurt these guys'
it's
feelings.
It's not democratic.
No. But crash that boat, baby. Make that boat sink.
Sink.
The one that floats up is the cream of the crop. Cream always floats to the top.
That's right.
And because you're the only woman, you get the lifeboat.
Yes.
And gratefully, there is an island.
And it's full of bananas.
Yes.
And banana hammocks.
Of course. Of course it is. And so, and then the dad proceeds to tell his daughter, not knowing it was his daughter, mm-hmm. that he likes to tie women up in very, with different color ropes, in lots of weird ways,
mm-hmm.
And so forth, and have their way with it. And he's like, oh, this guy's for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm all in, mister. We're all in together. This would be awesome. And it was kind of nice because they never talked about it again till later on,
mm-hmm.
for a brief second. But mm-hmm. it never was a major conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, after she felt, years later, she felt sad for her dad because he grew mm-hmm. up in a time when kinky people couldn't get together and do kinky stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so mainstream. I don't think it's still mainstream, but I think you can find your pockets now where mm-hmm. you can feel more mm-hmm. relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and then my mind goes to the woman who's been brought up by a psychotherapist. And I'm like, did you ever think that your dad spanking you your whole life had something to do with the fact that you didn't mind whips? Or, you know, I mean,
right.
I mean, didn't mind being spanked. I mean, I don't know if it's definitely true. I mean, I'm not saying it's a correlation or cause and effect.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, if the only attention you got from your father was being whipped.
Right.
And then
I think too, like,
I don't know people are, you know, yeah, go ahead.
No, I just, the one thought that just came to me is like, they say in families, there really is no secrets.
Right.
Not that they are just open.
No.
But that kids somehow get it, whatever it is.
I know that you have a kink flag and you fly it proudly. I do. You keep it. But you are a master of your habits, and you choose not to engage in that habit. In a fantasy life, that I've
that's known. Why I became a writer.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You can put
my characters.
Yes,
have flags.
Because it's a dangerous activity. You know.
Yeah. Do you want to be killed here?
Yes, honey. Well, you need to leave this because you will be killed. Yeah. Here. Like,
well,
what?
I watched Jane Fonda in Five Acts on HBO this week.
Okay.
And in one of the scenes, she's talking about filming the movie Clute, which I don't know, was in the 70s, where she plays a prostitute. And she said that she went into that element for many weeks in New York City and lived with the women. And she said, you know, amazingly, you know, obviously hard, shattering life. But she said that not one pimp bothered her during that entire time. And she said, in fact, not one pimp looked at me.
Didn't even look at her.
Didn't even look at me. And the reason was they could smell on me that I was had privilege, that I was white privilege. Even though I was there, they knew that it wasn't going to work with me.
No.
They just knew.
Yeah.
And I think that's how dysfunctional families are. You kind of know, even though it's not overtly stated or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's maybe why what they're saying, just in terms of like the Kavanaugh stuff that's happened this week with the Professor Ford, why it was so triggering to so many millions of women. I mean, they said call lines were just flooded, increasing.
Yeah. Yeah.
People wanting to tell their stories. I was listening to some women in their 70s say this reminded me of what happened when I was in third grade or fifth grade, and just, you know, things that people had stuffed down.
Right.
But came flooding back as a memory. And how vulnerable we were.
Yeah.
How unprotected we were at the time, and as a person who's speaking from it, how if they believed you, it was your fault,
right?
Even if you were 8 years old,
somehow
it was your
still
fault.
Your fault.
It's your fault.
Yeah,
you should know better.
Yeah, like how'd you get in that situation?
Yeah,
and like when she said, I didn't want anybody to know I was at a party where I was drinking.
Yeah,
I had one beer.
Yeah, and I was in a bar with my grandfather, who was unfortunately passed out on the bar.
Right.
This one woman was on CNN, and she said, this was in the 80s or whatever, and she had a really horrible marriage, and her husband was descending further and further into abusive alcoholism, and it was Christmas Eve. And he had come home drunk and just belligerent and angry and proceeded to just start beating her and beating her. And she had broken ribs and her teeth knocked out and her nose was broken. She managed to call the police or maybe someone in her apartment complex, but the police came. And they took them both. They took her to the hospital, but they took him to the police station, but didn't arrest him because it was Christmas and they didn't want him to miss Christmas. So she had to go back home.
With him there.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
And hopefully.
That was years ago, right?
Now. But
yeah.
But you think about generations of women at these marches.
Yeah.
Some in their 70s, 60s, 50s, that had to stuff this all down.
Right.
Had no place to go for it. Or went to what they thought were the proper authorities. And
see,
were
things have changed, but we've got a lot of, I mean, most of our women don't live in a world where things have changed, you know?
Right.
And
a lot of those women that are like doing commercials for Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
The I always call them the ladies who lunch with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
And high heels. I think that they are just privileged.
Yeah.
I think that they don't want to miss their meal ticket.
Right.
You know, they don't want to put that in the line.
Right.
I'm just guessing.
Well, I don't like the fact that this has to be about tribalism. This is like, it's Republicans versus the Democrats, conservatives versus the liberals. I'm like, no, this has nothing to do with that. Like somebody had pointed out, Kavanaugh is just one of many people on this list.
It was weird hearing the comparison. I know they were in Chevy Chase, Maryland, which is a very exclusive suburb.
Right.
Very
named
Republican.
After the comedian, which I thought was very awesome.
I know, yeah. But I grew up we moved to an area that was expensive, and my Catholic school had a lot of doctors and lawyers and professional men, and there was a big country club, and that culture is a definite culture. Like in the summer, the kids whose parents belong to the country club, you go to the country club, you play tennis all day, you go to the dive club, you swim, you go to their restaurant, you use mommy and daddy's charge at the restaurant, to buy your lunch,
right.
You get together. After it's a different world.
Yeah.
Now I didn't experience. I lived there, but I didn't experience that because my dad was a working man.
Right.
But we just happened to live in that area.
That area, right?
Yeah. So I knew those kids. I literally knew those kids.
Right.
I guess I shouldn't say literally because I didn't know those kids, but I knew those kids.
Yeah.
And that is exactly how they acted. That is exactly how they were entitled. They felt entitled.
Yeah.
And oh my God. I mean, if you do one thing, don't raise kids like that.
Yeah. I think, me, my biggest problem is alcohol. Nobody addresses the alcohol. It always starts off with I'm drinking.
But can I say something?
Yeah.
Growing up in a Catholic district and in the country club was, 90% Catholic, alcohol was like, sure.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Sure. Alcohol.
Yeah. And I know that in other countries, kids start drinking a lot earlier. And I don't know what their rate of this kind of stuff is going on. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know. Do they drink to excess? Is that just an American thing? Mm-hmm. I don't really know. And so if it is just an American thing, well, how do we address that? I was watching just briefly this show, and I fell asleep during it, but on HBO about consent. And... or was it Vice? I don't know. But they're talking about hearing Ford's testimony. And this woman goes, and hearing other people's testimony. Or no, the Aziz, who's a comedian?
Yeah.
And how it was like a bad date.
Yeah.
Their situation was.
The guy we liked.
He's so funny. And she goes, I was drinking. He was drinking. And
so she's talking about him then.
Yes. Okay. This is a different the woman talking, probably about 25-year-old woman, and she's relaying a story about how she didn't think this was a sexual assault because she was drinking, he was drinking. She told him no. He didn't stop, and then she just let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I'm sure it happens to a lot of people.
A lot.
And I'm going, hello, we keep saying the obvious thing in the effing room.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, does it start off with, I was drinking,
mm-hmm.
they were drinking?
Mm-hmm.
If we take out alcohol, I don't know what would happen, but a lot of this stuff would stop.
I remember I was a freshman in college, and I went to a party with my next-door neighbor who was like 3 years older than me. But she was going to a party. She was dating a med student at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, at the med school, and she needed somebody to go with her.
Yeah.
So I went, and what happened was I found myself alone with this med student guy because she had gone off with her date.
Right.
So I was alone in this fraternity house with this med student who absolutely was the epitome of like what I was trying to tell you about, the country club entitled.
Yeah.
And first thing he did was, here, have a drink. And it was very, I saw him make it really strong. I'm like, that was my first
Oh, marker. He's trying to get me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember he went to go do something, answer the phone. I don't remember. But I put my, there was a potted plant there, and I put my drink in the potted plant.
Or so iconic.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And he did it again, you know. So filled it up, I mean.
Yeah.
And so probably, you know, after he started really, you know, being forceful with me.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, I was like, I like I said, I have three brothers.
I don't know
if I could have out beat him up or outrun him or anything. But luckily, my neighbor came in with her, you know, her date, and literally
the
stopped
mood stopped.
It.
Yeah, the mood stopped.
Yeah, stopped.
He stopped his. Yeah. Yeah.
And in my mind, that's the closest I ever came to like knowing, other than actually being, you know, when I was younger. To like, hey, being in that situation where I know I'm being plied with alcohol here.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you having? You know, what is your and really finding him? Not that he was unattractive, or like, oh, the potential of an MD.
I'm so attracted to you.
So attractive.
I'll just like drink many alcohol so that you can do that. Yeah,
exactly.
Whatever. I see my life ahead of it, and I see me drinking a lot. I see you having many mistresses. I go, yeah, that looks like
exactly,
a fun life.
Exactly.
I go, yeah. Also, I can be in my pearls and go to the country club.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Wonderful life.
And also, just there was just that sense of just snobbery.
Yeah. Oh, you like you I said, you even, know. And because this is not happening now, this is from a culture 30-some years ago.
Right.
And people are like, I don't want to be judged what I did 30-some years ago. We agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that part. And what we realize that we felt like he lied about who he was back then. Like, dude, we're not stupid.
But also, anything that you did 30-something years ago, if it came to light, would you just have to run away with your tail between your legs? Me neither.
I'd be like, oh my God, did I do that? I can't.
There might be something stupid or whatever. But mostly, no.
And most people don't hold, and if they hold you accountable that far away, something else is going on as well. You know, but it's just very interesting because as we were talking, we see things just slightly different.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't one of the cool kids. Like you grew up as part of the cool kids. I mean, you were what do you call it? Queen of the ball,
football queen, homecoming queen.
Yeah, that was you. So picture this, everyone. I grew up with a mother that was perfect. In every way.
For a brief moment.
For a brief moment, sure. And then something
perfectly.
And then something perfectly happened to you. I came along. In perfect timing to cut that shit off. I had to kind of bring you back down to earth.
That's right.
Like I had to go. Oh, this
bring
woman
me down.
Yeah, this woman here. Life is going way too well for her. I must. That Catholic girl. That one time. Oh, that's
you
all.
Became my guardian angel.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. I saw the path you were going down, and it was
that's
not
a
good
path.
I saw it filled with booze and men.
Pearls.
Yeah, booze and pearls and lots of quaaludes.
And dyed hair.
So I have this thought in my mind, and I don't. This is an old term, and I'm going to say it. I don't know if it is, but I think it could become a new product to put in alcohol to make women safe and men safe from doing. Because I don't want men to do this either. I don't want them.
Spanish fly?
No, not Spanish fly.
Negative Spanish flies.
Isn't it saltpeter?
Peter salt. No, saltpeter.
Is that what it's called? Saltpeter.
Yeah.
I did that. Am I remembering that correctly?
That was. If I when I was going to have another child, I was going to name him Salt.
Salt Peters. You gotta laugh, people. Life's too hard to
gotta laugh.
Cry. Don't cry. Laugh. The ridiculousness of it. Salt Peter. I would have loved that. You know, Samuel.
Spanish fly.
Spanish fly. Not Spanish fly. That's the other. That's what I think. That's what Bill Cosby
did you ever
is.
Did you ever hear of any folk tales around Spanish fly when you were a kid?
Just like you told me.
What did I tell you?
Don't let anybody put in your alcohol Spanish fly. I'm like, what the hell is Spanish fly?
Well, I remember like
basically ecstasy.
I didn't know what it was, but I can remember like they were saying like when I was like in high school, like don't ever find out that you took Spanish fly because if you were on a date with a boy and he had a stick shift, that you would find yourself.
Oh, jeez.
I need to get on top of the stick shift.
Not the boy.
No.
Like, it wouldn't work. Like, no. Oh, good. That was smart, boy, because I don't care about you. This stick shift is looking really good to me. I'm telling you, you look not good enough.
And like, and that was like, that's like emboldened in my hippocampus.
That, so somehow the marketing, I felt so stupid after this year. I'm like, well, because the memory is, you know,
located in the hippocampus.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what the marketing was for Spanish Fly. Mm. Was that part of it? Like just a stick shift?
Yeah.
Like you're, and the thing is, you take a Spanish Fly, and the ad is just you gazing at the stick shift. Damn.
Oh, there was this little fly.
Damn.
With like a Spanish like sombrero.
Oh, please. That's hysterical.
And then.
What would be the saltpeter ad?
I don't know.
Automatic.
My dad said that when he was in the Army, that they had to eat saltpeter every day.
And that's supposed to
at
not
the mess
make,
hall.
Not make you get a hard on, right?
Yeah.
Make you not have be hardy. Or
yeah.
Horny.
Hardy. You,
I was listening to Adam Carolla over the week, and he was talking about, he goes, listen, we've got to define these people differently. He goes, people, the men who like attack and jump on you is bad.
attack bad.
He goes, but I wish I could tell women how crazy you feel. Like at like 11, 12, most guys could care less about a woman. Don't care. No, we're just friends. Nothing's no big deal. Nothing matters.
When you're 11, 12 years old, you mean.
12 years old, yeah. Somehow, when puberty hits you, it's like all you want is like to be around girls. Like, yeah, I want you. Yeah, I don't even know what to do with you, but I want you. I just want you all the time. I don't know what to do, but you know, I want to know what that feels like. Yeah. I think
Norm said he remembered like his first sexual dream.
Yeah.
It was just he dreamt that there was, and I don't know how old he was, but there was this swimming pool. And all there was floating was boobies on top of the
just
pool.
Boobies.
He's swimming in a sea of boobies.
See, I would like to know what that felt like. Like, to be like, I don't know, but like, I don't know if it would be, you know, what would it be for me, you know? But I would be curious. I've never been drawn that way where, like, I must do this. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And hence the problem. I do not have kids, so I guess I'm not drawn to the fact that my biological.
Plus you don't drink.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. I don't drink.
Yeah.
So my inhibitions.
You've never lost your, right.
I see everything in like, oh, this decision could be horrible.
Yeah. You actually think that in your mind.
I think that in my mind.
Whereas most people just jump right in.
Well, I know Dan Savage says, hey, you know, if you're feeling a little, you know, have a glass of wine. It'll loosen you up.
Have a glass of wine and a quart of an edible.
Yeah. You're going to be fine. I'm like, is that what I'm supposed to do? I'm like, and see, I would always think that, well, if I got to do that, then what's the point?
Yeah.
If
Dan Savage says, have a glass of wine and a quart of an edible.
Yeah.
And then watch your back door.
Yeah, exactly. Watch your back door. Use baby wipes. Yeah. Or
cleanconfidence.com.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Clean Confidence.
Exactly.
Take two and then just take two.
So I was listening to a couple podcasts and it was interesting. I gotta stop using that word. About Kavanaugh and what had been picked out from men. I didn't pick it out. I thought it was an interesting part.
Yeah, tell me.
Because my whole opinion is that this is like, I have no idea what happened. I mean, like, I believe her.
We don't know what happened.
I'm sure it happened to her.
At the end of the day, if we had to make a decision.
I'm on her side.
Me too.
Not because of Democrats,
Republicans.
If we were forced
to watch the thing.
Yeah.
And then make a decision.
And a lot of reasons. I didn't think he acted very judge-like.
Right.
And no. I mean, for a Supreme Court judge, I'm like, dude,
you have no temperament.
You have no, I understand you're being wrongly accused. Mm-hmm. I'm sure many people in front of you have been wrongly accused. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you didn't put up with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what the two men said in two different podcasts, mm-hmm. they both talked about this, like Amanda alumni in the yearbook. Do you know I'm talking about this one quote?
The girl? The Renata alumni?
Renata alumni.
That's her name. That was her name.
Renata. Mm-hmm. Renata alumni. Mm-hmm. And how he got so belligerent toward Senator Blumenthal.
Yes.
And like, how dare you bring up
my best friend.
And he just
our
like
best friend.
Nothing. His heartbeat, I don't even think it raced.
Right.
Like nothing, nothing,
that's
nothing.
That's what I love about him.
Yeah. You love a man who doesn't get flustered like that.
I love him.
It was sort of like, I'm not into politics like debating about Trump. I don't want to do that. But
at
I remember.
Point, when he did that. What you want to say is when he started defending her,
like
how
that,
dare you,
it
sir?
Meant that she was part of our friends. We were a close group. We were a close group. And Steve Bertram on WGN goes, I call BS on that. You do not write, and all the men in a group do not write Renata alumni because you were friends with a girl.
Yeah.
That is such a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a 17-year-old boy. I was an 18-year-old boy. Yeah. That's not true.
That's a lie.
And then a different podcast or something, a radio show, talked about that as well. It goes, he wasn't truthful in some areas.
Yeah.
That just came across as blatant lies.
Yeah.
And all so, he would have had to say was, I can't remember what specifically that was.
Right.
It could have been we all had a crush on her. She was a pretty girl. We all liked her, you know, in that way. All he had to say. But to be so boisterous and so
how dare you?
Cub Scouty.
How dare you?
Oh, I'm defending her honor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How dare you?
And at that
she was
point,
part of our group.
Men, the real men. Understood.
Like, oh, you're you're lying.
And that's when Blumenthal said that famous Latin incantation.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, you know what this means?
You knew it.
And he goes, you could probably say it better than I can.
He didn't know it.
He said to Blumenthal. And he said, yeah, if you lie in a little, you lie in a lot.
Yeah.
And at that point, he said it with such... dignity.
Yeah. Heart rate didn't go up much.
No, we know you're lying here. So
and
what does that tell
point.
Us?
Exactly.
You can tell us right here that you're lying.
Yeah. About certain
and
things.
And also, too, he said, they asked him, sir, what does, well, we know what Ralph means, but they asked him what Ralph meant. And I mean, I know what Ralph meant, but
he said,
oh, it's because I had a weak stomach, so I was sort of president of the Ralph Club, which means Ralph, you know.
Yeah.
But then they said, well, what about here that you wrote down that you were, you know, into the Devil's Triangle?
Yeah.
Oh, that was another beer game, drinking game.
Yeah.
The Devil's Triangle is a drinking game. Well, you've played coins, I think he said, or nickels or something.
Yeah.
It's similar to that. And at that point, I knew that other men knew that that's a lie as well. A Devil's Triangle is
your
not
crotch.
A drinking game.
Is that right?
It's a
reference to your crotch.
Yeah. So,
and does it mean that you push
lie
your
about
microphone
a little
bit? The bottom part. Thanks. Is it in? No, can't. Why do I want to go in? Hold on a second. We're okay. It just is falling out for some reason. There you go. Just had to push it. Sorry, girlfriend.
Lie about a little. Yeah. Lie about a lot.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And here's the thing. That stuff had nothing to do with the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with the incident.
Right.
It had to do what he does now.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you were still a 17-year-old guy who, by accounts, drank.
Yeah.
We all know what that looks like.
I remember
when... You couldn't have been perfect. You were not a school... You know, you were not a Boy Scout 24/7.
And a lot of people said, oh, well, she had such little details. Like, I can remember when I was a freshman, and I went with Bobby Emming. There was supposed to be a fraternity party in the woods at SIU. And so I went with him, and, you know, it was not the fraternity that Norm was in. So,
right.
And... all of a sudden, a girl came out of the woods with a guy behind her, and she was crying.
Yeah.
And she had her eye makeup was all runny, and her hair was all messed up, and she was crying. And Bobby Emick, who was a good guy, went to, you know, Catholic school. He looked at me, and he looked at her, and he goes, let's get out of here right now.
Yeah.
Because he knew this could be trouble.
Yeah, and you know? Unfortunately, you left the girl there alone with the guy.
I think she married him later.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, he broke up with her. He didn't ask her to marry her afterwards.
But you know what, though?
I know.
I just felt, when I look back on that, I thank him for
that. Yeah, he knew.
He took me out of that. Yeah, he had the sense. Whereas I didn't know.
No.
I was a freshman.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And... But you can see where you can get in over your head.
100%.
Oh, but here's what I wanted to say about that. What I remember about that incident was that girl coming out of the woods and the guy following her and her hair being all messed up and her just crying.
Yeah.
I don't remember where the woods are. I don't remember what day it is.
No.
I didn't have a calendar.
No.
I don't remember all the other people that were there.
Remember that.
I remember that damn moment.
Exactly.
And he took me by my arm and he said, let's get out of here.
Yeah. I remember that.
So,
That's exactly right.
The fact that I remember all the other things.
Doesn't mean that you
was
were
I
lying.
Wearing a sweater?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't mean that I was wrong about that.
No.
That's exactly what I wanted to say.
Exactly. Mic drop. I get it.
Mind blown.
Yes. Exactly.
Does that tell you about where I'm coming from then?
It does. And that's why I think overall, this had to go down the way it went down, going down.
Yeah.
Because I think that the new generation of men, it gets better every year.
I hope so.
It does. I just know it does.
I hope so.
I think people going, this is not the right way to. I believe your generation, a good portion of men felt it had to be done this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it decreases. Because no guys don't want to behave like that either.
I think I got a good guy. I'm really lucky that I have a good guy. But In those days, the good guys, you know, they weren't heads of law firms.
No, right.
They didn't get the best elite jobs because, in a lot of ways, those guys were alpha, testosterone, high achievers. And because of that, you know, I know someone who went to California many, many times during the years for several decades on business and has a girlfriend out there, even though he's married, has children.
Yeah.
And had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
All these decades.
Right.
You know, but high testosterone.
Yeah.
High achiever.
Yeah.
You know, belligerent.
Yeah.
Bullying.
You're right.
Made a lot of money for his company.
Yeah.
You know, and so therefore, I'm not saying that your dad, you know, couldn't have done that, but he was one of the good guys.
Right.
Like, you know what? I work hard for my family. You know, I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I'll come home at 8 o'clock at night. I'll do what I got to do to put food on the table for you guys.
Yeah.
I'll be the best I can be. And you know, I'm actually thinking about right now, I'm thinking about Beto the Bison.
Yeah.
Right now.
Are you feeling a sympathy for him or no?
Feeling kind of sad for him a little bit.
Okay.
Only because we think he might have ended up in some Ralston Purina dog chow, maybe.
Possibly.
And you know,
did we talk about Beto yet?
I don't want that to happen to Norman.
So mom has named the alpha bison that used to live in our Nechusa grasslands, 3,000 acres.
Yeah.
But to find out they only had 1,500 to work with, we have the potential to have 3,000 acres for the bison.
Yeah.
But somehow we don't. We can't figure out how to get them to there, so it's only 1,500 initially.
Mm-hmm.
And so every fall they get DNA tested, all the new ones.
The new little baby bison.
And I guess last year they had like 50 of them or something, a number.
The highest babies ever.
And 80% were all from the same alpha male.
Beto.
That's what mom's calling him, Beto. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, did you guys have to move some of the the cubs around and like, get, you know, and like, no, we got rid of Beto because Beto was too aggressive. We can't have one male just, you know, mating, creating all these babies. All of a sudden he'll be having sex with he'll be having babies with his children soon.
Oh,
and that's not right.
That's not right.
So forth. And so
Beto screws me up though.
Right. Cause
I feel sorry for
Beto.
For him, like, in the jungle, he'd be king of the forest.
Yes.
You know,
But see, the king of the forest, though, I mean, like Beto, you know, his good life was to mate with all the females as much as possible. That's his good life.
Yeah. That's his best practices.
His hashtag best life ever. That's his best life ever, right? However, your best life ever shouldn't hurt the rest of the group. you know, it's like leave the group better, like campground rules.
Campground rules.
Leave the campground better than what you found it. Right. Yeah. And so he's leaving the campground with kind of some not so good genes. Like everybody's got the same genes.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's not. Here's the thing, though. He didn't want to leave the campground.
No, he didn't. He did not want to leave.
That's what makes me sad.
And I'm praying that he is somewhere with a lot of fans. That maybe he just becomes the one that travels. You know, like
he's in the circus.
No, I don't think that. I think.
I feel like a traveling circus show.
No, I think mostly he's the
and
guy.
And here, ladies and gentlemen.
Beto, the alpha bison. All he can do really is mate. So if you've got a female bison around, he'll get the job done. And I think that's what he is. He gets the job done.
Yeah.
He takes it over the goal line.
And see, that's what Normano does.
Does he?
He got the job done.
He gave you two kids.
Over the goal. He raised a family. He drove that damn truck.
But Daddy kind of played. In some ways, he was a star in arena football. You know,
it's a different game.
It's a family oriented game.
Yeah.
You go and all of a sudden, you know, they've got the T-shirt gun comes out and they're the little cheerleaders are throwing out T-shirts to the families.
Yeah.
You can get, you know, four people can go, you know, for $50, you know, and with hot dogs and drinks
and beer
and beer. You know, it's arena football. Yeah. It's a family time, you know,
and Dad's a football player.
Dad's
there.
A quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
I love it.
Star of the arena football team. Yeah. I don't know.
You go, Normano.
Yeah, you go, Normano.
And what song do they play for him when he comes out?
I go,
team?
Rising up out on the street. Do got time, took my chances. Do. Eye of the tiger. Eye of the tiger. Or, hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game face on, play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Maybe that's him. Ooh, all that glitters is gold.
And so only all those years, Nora's playing arena football, taking the injuries,
yeah.
Getting sacked, getting like knocked out, throwing that football as best he can.
And you were comparing him to the NFL, which is a totally different league.
Yeah.
You know, can't compare apples and oranges.
That's the
They're
country,
still the same fruit.
That's the country
They're
club.
Both Both fruits, she's apples.
They definitely are fruits.
Exactly, both things. So, can I talk just briefly about my
Bye, Beto.
You know, Beto,
have a drink.
I wonder. You know,
the only thing that I enjoyed about that though is when Maury Povich came to town. And he had to let go. And who's the father of this baby bison? And all the women were going, it's not him. And they go, no, it is him. And Beto's like, yeah, it's me, baby.
See, in this Maury Povich, the girls are like, not him. He's got too many already. Not him.
He can't even support the ones
Beto,
he has.
Beto's like, yes, that's me. You're my kid, and you're my bison. And Maury's like going, yeah.
Oh, Morgan.
He goes, it was hard getting DNA from all you guys, but we did it. And man, he goes, you're not going to have enough paycheck left over to even buy a beer. So you're screwed. You're out of luck, Beto. The court's got taking money out of your paycheck every week, Beto.
Right.
Take care of all your little bison.
Yeah, he's going to be like, oh, that's what's going to happen.
It would be so hysterical. Yeah. We should have had Maury come over here during the DNA testing.
Yes.
That would have been like...
Wouldn't that have been great?
It would have been hysterical.
Yeah.
Hysterical.
Maury Povich... It made that paper. Maury Povich is in town.
Yeah.
Because our bison...
We're doing
DNA testing.
if you want to be in the audience, get to participate, come and join the audience. We're like, yay! You're the dad!
Yeah, we thought so.
We thought it was you.
We could see it in the nostrils.
Yeah, you guys look alike.
You see the way your tail swats those flies?
Exactly. We know.
Look at Beto.
Yeah.
The
way he can move his tongue both ways. He can roll his tongue a certain way. That's genetics. You can roll your tongue too.
Right.
That's genetics. Exactly. So, I learned a few things. I went to Columbus last weekend. Shout out to my Columbus family if you're listening.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Danielle.
I kept calling him Danielle. I don't know what it's Danielle.
I'm sure that made him feel good.
And he's like, not Danielle. I'm like, Danielle. Danielle.
But if you were in Paris.
Danielle. Yes, I'm French, Danielle. Sorry. Did I know that?
Sorry, Danielle. I am from France.
And a couple of things I learned. Yeah.
Me and Inspector Clouseau.
Exactly.
We shall both call you Danielle.
It was my great aunt's 95th birthday. It was awesome. A couple times I cried a little bit because she was seeing people from her past and mm-hmm. was giving hugs. Mm-hmm. And she was really pretty. It looked like a Pucci dress. Is that what they're called?
Mm.
Kind of like that.
Emilia Pucci?
Yeah. Is that those interesting patterns?
Uh-huh.
And it was great. It was kind of funny. I was talking to my other great aunt, Irma. And it was kind of funny because she was talking to me. She's like, "I don't talk about this in the podcast, okay?" And I'm like, "I won't divulge that."
A lot of people say that to us.
I know. Don't mention this on our podcast.
Don't mention this on the podcast.
I go, trust me, it's not funny. I won't.
We won't.
I go, trust me. I go, let me. People don't want to hear this stuff. This is too serious. This is sad. It makes me depressed. I'm not going to share that. Even though it would be great because everybody has the same issues.
Yeah, everybody.
We're all alone. We're not, none of us are alone. We all have the same issues.
That's right.
It is what it is, girlfriend. All is well, but I won't mention it. Don't worry about it. You know. So anyway, it was kind of interesting because Jamie's daughter was there, and I'm telling you this. I don't think it's a big deal because she's a millennial. I think it's fine, but she gave me my first hit of CBT oil through a vape.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, and I'm like, okay, pass it over. Let me try it. Give it to me. Let me try it. And she goes, I loved her. I loved it because my other millennial, Quinn, when she made me do my first hit off a joint,
right?
She's like, you know, take it slow.
Just take it slow, girlfriend.
And I took a hit slow, and yeah. I'm like, and I coughed my first and only hit, by the way.
I love the fact that we had to do it on FaceTime.
Yeah, FaceTime. She's like, I'm
we
giving
all
this
had
to
do it together.
She gave it to me at Christmas, and I couldn't do it at Christmas during the party. That would have been horrible.
No.
But she, and so we did it FaceTime later on. And so
it was like we had a gang.
Yeah. And so I did it, and immediately you start coughing because your throat's burning. And I go, this cannot be, this is of the joint. I go, no one would want this. This is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, you get used to it. And then you get beyond it. And I'm like, oh.
You get used to the horribleness of
life.
Yeah.
And see, the thing
honey,
is,
I know that.
I don't know. I don't need it enough to get beyond the horribleness.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I still have the same joint with one hit missing. I'm like, I gotta get this back to her.
You do not have that left, Julie. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You've taken it. And so I took my first hit off of a CBT, which is totally legal in all 50 states because it's not psychotropic. It's just a little mellowing.
Yeah.
Off of a vape.
How was that, girlfriend?
Well, she gave me some advice. She goes, hit it hard, like you mean it. Mm. Like, you know, don't just like lightly take it. I go, well, tell me exactly how to do this because I've never done it before. Mm-hmm. You hit a button, put your mouth over it, and suck it in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I can do that.
And then your teeth fall out.
Like, what?
Oh, excuse me, that's crack.
That's crack. That's crack. So I took a big hit, and then I started coughing relentlessly. I'm like, this can't be right. Just get used to it. I go, why did you get used to this? This is horrible. And I go, but you know what? This wasn't bad because it tasted like strawberries.
Oh, nice.
And she goes, exactly.
And is that flavor?
She had some kind of flavoring, a strawberry flavor.
Yeah, right.
And I could see that if you had some kind of
strawberry
issue
forever.
Is that what they did? Oh, sure. It was a drug reference. Yeah. That this would be a beneficial technique because I'm telling you, it wasn't bad.
No.
And it was just like a little bit of a puff of steam or whatever. But it was kind of, and so then I had to tell my other millennial, Quinn, I go, you'd be so proud of me, Quinners. She goes, what'd you do? I go, I took a hit off of a Juul or some kind of vape, a CBT. And she goes, how did it feel? Yeah. I go, well, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't.
It was just a hit.
It was just one hit, you know.
I'm not a doctor, damn it.
Not a doctor. I didn't know. But I started coughing relentlessly. And then I'm in the car, you know, and I'm coughing relentlessly. And I'm like, getting a drink. Like, no, but here's a 2-liter of Coke. I'm like, oh, I gave up sugar a long time ago. I can't do this. And then it stopped. But I was like really proud of myself.
Yeah.
Like, I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. I'm so happy.
I'm so
happy.
Proud of you
yes,
too.
Exactly.
But you know what? You're missing the point about the trip to Columbus.
Okay.
24-hour trip to Columbus.
What was my point?
Two words.
Oh, well, I have. Okay, go. I was going to say passion fruit. Go ahead. What was your two words?
That was my two words.
What were your two words?
Well, my two words are pool boy.
Oh! Oh, my God, yes.
And I have been thinking nonstop. Because we are making another movie next month
yes.
for the 48-hour International and, Film Festival.
Oh, this is a great story.
And I am looking for
yes.
a PB.
A pool boy.
Yeah.
You told
and
me
I
beforehand.
Asked you,
and I said, I'm not going to ask
I
this asked, kid.
I said, when you go to Columbus, see if there's any pool boy types. And I swear to God,
yeah, you did
there's
ask
a
this.
Boy there that they actually call.
They actually called
the pool
boy.
Boy. And I said, I hope to God, you, I said,
and I
pay
I refuse.
For a, I said, I pay for a plane
yes.
ticket.
Yes. I know you're looking for a pool boy to be in our next movie.
Yes.
And he showed up.
And I said, here's and the he plane
was,
ticket.
He was called the pool boy.
Yes.
Which I think is, and basically what he was is he's one of my, the 95-year-old aunt's, her grandson's best friend came to the
yes.
party. And he's a cutie pie. And so somehow.
Do we not need a cutie pie for our
we
next
do.
Movie? Do we not need
and
that type?
One of my cousins commented and goes,
a
I don't know who this guy is, but he's the pool boy yeah. that grandma loves. Grandma loves this guy. He's the pool boy.
And I'm saying hire him sight unseen.
Yeah, because I've seen him. It's not sight unseen. He's a cutie pie.
Yeah.
Tall. And I refuse to. And just hashtag.
And see,
I can't,
that
I can't.
Is not right, Jill.
I'll
that is
find
not
someone
right
local.
To put your mother down like that.
I'll find someone local. We're not flying some kid out for a 7-minute movie.
I swear to God, though, Jill, I have seen what's local.
It's loco. What's local ain't working for my pool boy. I have a vision in mind.
I have a vision for my pool boy in mind. And
it was very odd because you... I am not joking. You said keep a lookout for a pool boy.
That type. That's what directors do, girl.
Yeah, I know that type. You didn't mean exactly, no. literally a pool boy. Nor did my cousin say that his grandmother had a pool boy. She doesn't have a pool. She does not have a pool. But it's the type.
Right.
But when he said this, I'm like, you've got to be effing kidding me. My mom nailed it again.
Again,
I
girl.
Can't stand that. Again. That you can't pick the damn lottery numbers. What the F is wrong with you? You pull out these interesting little eye things. Like, how in the world, why would you say pool boy? Mm-hmm. Why would they say pool boy?
Why? When? Because, now see.
Did
I would
you
take
cause
that,
it?
I would take that as a.
A hit.
A hit to say, hello, sir.
Yeah.
I have a plane ticket to Dixon, Illinois for you.
Oh, my God.
For just 48 hours. And would you be interested in being in a movie?
And but what would I don't know anything about. Does he
He's
have to wear?
He's got to play a kind of my love interest.
Oh, for heaven's sakes! I say no. Hashtag no way. Hashtag no way. He was like, he was barely 30. If he was 30. Barely. I'm thinking he looks.
He's a youngie.
I, the only reason why I say 30 is because I think my cousin is 30 and it's his best friend, but I could be wrong. In my mind, he looks like he was 22. I have no idea.
But I mean, girl, couldn't you see the value of that on the screen?
No, I really can't see the value. Hashtag gross me out.
No.
Hashtag no way, Jose. Is that even a hashtag? Is that wrong?
Hashtag El Paso.
Yeah. El Paso on that, oh. Oh, you're so brilliant. I just love you a day.
Mom, you can go find that pool boy at the corner of No Way and
Jose. Down the street of El Paso, that Rouso. Pass it on over here.
See, here's the thing that I have people, I just want you to know that I have to work with such a closed mind.
Yeah.
This is you. I ask you for lots of things all week long.
Oh, my God.
And you refuse me. And
I don't want you to go to your grave thinking that I could have had a big life, but I had a daughter that blocked me everywhere I went.
I'm serious. And
I don't want to be that girl.
You are a clock blocker as well. I mean, have a clock around, you will block it. Even.
Yes. I'm a horrible person. I'm a horrible, horrible person.
And I know it's because you think that you're going to have to write a check that your butt has to catch.
Which you've done.
Which I've done.
And so
I've apologized.
Yeah.
I've made amends.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
And I think I got a few more amends to make, girlfriend.
But my trip to Columbus was a great trip. I had lots of fun. It was nice. It's nice reconnecting with people at a different level.
Yeah.
I know that I have a long way to go with playing euchre. Euchre, that's the game of the...
First, you got to figure out how to pronounce it.
Is it euchre or euchre? I think it's euchre.
It could be euchre.
Yeah. It's Uber. It's not Uber. It's Uber.
And you played in an euchre bar.
Yeah. I think it's euchre, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I got better at it. Mm-hmm. I even played one round by myself, which meant I could earn double points, which I didn't.
Hmm.
You know, so we'll see on that.
That means nothing to me that you earned double points.
But I'll tell you one thing I learned that I thought is that I come from, like, a cool family. Mm-hmm. Like, and I come from people who are very much generous, you know? Yeah. Like, they're
just come from good stock.
I come from good stock.
We may not be country club.
People are nice.
And we ain't a country club.
No.
We keep our Christmas lights on the porch all year long.
Yes, exactly.
But we're good stock people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just felt...
we don't have any sense of entitlement.
No. And I just... Exactly. We don't. And I... Like, here's a quick example. We got the show's over, but I just want to share one example with my Aunt Irma, because this is a story I can tell. We played euchre at the table. I'm getting better. But I'm telling you what, you add booze to euchre playing, that table is going crazy.
Mm.
Crazy.
Did you add booze to that table?
Of course not. And I only was in for one game, and I'm not like, let's play again. I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. I went to bed.
Okay, so far that's a boring story.
Yes.
Like,
that's
okay.
Well, it was not an exciting story, but my aunt, who plays euchre every other week at the church, mm-hmm. it was a $3 buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
She was starting to have a little guilt about this. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're using the church's electricity mm-hmm. and the space. We should at least all chip in an extra dollar and then donate the money like every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some bickering going on, like, oh, I don't want to do that. Mm. Why should we do that? Mm-hmm. You know, but they all eventually agree to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now.
Are you telling me now it's $4 to play?
It's $4 to play. And darn it, if she didn't change the world but that $4, that extra dollar. And like,
whoa.
They gave it to their they were going to get to the food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Screw the food pantry. Mm-hmm. Those people are fine enough. They gave it to their church's daycare. And they bought a happy oven or oven bake oven or whatever you call it. A fake oven. So to make food for the food pantry. No.
Well, we didn't even get it talking about, you know, did they buy that happy bake oven at the Goodwill? Because we didn't even talk about the Goodwill story about the lady in Florida, vacationing in Florida with her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Who was just shopping at the Goodwill for her great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
And saw her son's name on a baseball mitt on the bottom of the aisle.
Yeah.
And it was a baseball mitt. They're from Ohio.
Yeah.
That the last game of the season, they lost.
The son lost.
The son lost, and he lost his mitt.
Yeah.
And 40 years later... It's in a Goodwill store. It's got his name on it. It was the exact same mitt. And the father who was at that game told the memories exactly of how that game went down and everything. And nobody denied his account it went down at that last game.
Nobody denied it. Nobody denied it.
Nobody even questioned it.
No. Maybe he was, like, telling the truth, or was he lying? I don't know.
But
40-some years ago.
But we're going to be able to tell you next week the fate of that baseball glove.
The fate of the
baseball glove. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, people.
Have a great day, everyone. Was it great, Mom?
It was great.